Okay, time out. Wait a minute. Eloy?
I have a question for... Let me get intimate. I forget. We have to get intimate. Eloy intimate now. Bales is saying that he was taught by you to make a Dutch oven. And I know what a Dutch oven is, and so does Sherry.
I know that... I'm not... I know that that's some sort of sexual innuendo,
oh God, no.
Isn't it?
What? No. Well, I guess
if you're into that sort of thing, I guess. Methane asphyxiation.
You. No, Dutch oven, dude. So you're laying in bed with your partner, and you.
Oh, I know.
Launch
I, okay,
a raunchy one
now.
And throw the covers yeah. over, and you know.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Okay. Eloy's mind was going Filthy Sanchez or something there.
Gross.
Well, it was in bed. It was in bed.
You and Bales?
No, it
oh,
was
that was
bed,
hands on. It was hands on instruction. I see. I'm glad you clarified.
What the hell happened here? What the hell happened?
We had Dirty Sanchez, not Filthy. My
oh
bad,
my
Dan.
God.
Dan's the expert on Dirty Sanchez's now. So, hashtag Dirty Dan. It's going in the chat now.
Hey everybody, it's Rick from Scratched. Just want to let you know, we have officially reached episode 110. Unbelievable, right? 2.5 months ago we started this thing, and all of a sudden we're 10 episodes in, and it's quite the shocker. This week should be no exception. This is the tail end of the live show we did a few weeks back, and some of the topic material may be a little rough, just so you know. But we had fun with it, and we hope you're enjoying everything up to the 10th episode, and beyond, quite honestly. So, as always, feel free to take a look at our website, scratched.net. There you will find connections to everywhere else we hang out, in addition to previous episodes and articles that we're doing and all of the amazing stuff that goes on in the Scratched universe. So, without further ado, here we are, episode 110.
So, I'm curious, in the break here, Eloy, who has never sharded until this year.
No, I sharded in previous.
You're saying so far this year you haven't.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into sharding, dude, to be honest with you. You guys started with the sharding, and I was just met. See, you're laying foundations here for things that I don't want to, you know,
visit.
That's
an interesting take. I'm laying foundations. Well,
I will tell you one story, and this is, you know what? I'm not going to tell you that story. Keep going.
I'll tell you mine, then. So, I was a pretty heavy drinker in my 20s. Matter of fact, some might even call it alcoholic. I certainly do. So much so I had to have an intervention from my cousin. And before that happened, though, I remember being on this what's called a 12-12 pitch. And for those of you not familiar with roofing, it's almost like a cathedral. It's really sharp. I had had a heavy night of drinking the night before, and we made the infamous morning Taco Bell run. Of which, you know, my cure was about 5 bean burritos with extra red sauce and a large Dr. Pepper to try to get through it. Not exactly the best thing. So I remember stabbing an antenna base into a roof, and I'm standing on this 6-foot ladder on a 12-12 pitch trying to adjust this antenna, this microwave receiver. And I thought, oh, I can let that go. The wind's blowing. No big deal. And I mean, horrible, horrible stuff. It was like volcanic almost. Okay. Up my back, down my legs. I've got 3 layers of underwear on because it's so freaking cold in January out here, and I'm outside all the time, and I filled those things, and it just wouldn't stop. Now, unfortunately, I had just wrecked my last truck. Now you tell me, Dan, 25 years later, thank you, that's not exactly timely. Dan says Taco Bell is not the cure for a hangover. Yeah, I know. And this is how I know. It's freezing cold. I've filled all of these layers. I've wrecked my truck, so I'm riding along with a guy that I'm training until I can get enough money to buy another one. And he's like, you're not getting in my truck. So I had to ride in the back of his truck to a gas station and try to clean this up. And then I just still didn't get enough. So the whole rest of the day now, I'm reeking of filth. And this guy is just like, I'm not coming back. And he never, I never saw the guy again. He dropped me off at the shop and dropped all his equipment and said, I'm not coming back. And I to this day, as far as I know, I've never seen the guy again, you know, and I don't think I can blame him really.
But. I've got a really good one, dude. I've got a really, really good one. I mean, this is really nasty though. At least it was for me. I used to drive airboats for a living, and I did that for over 10 years out in the Everglades. And I would take about 20 to 22 people on a boat, and I'd drive them out for 45 minutes and then bring them back. When you're out there, there's no bathroom. You can pee over the side of the road, over the side of the boat.
You were hammered,
but you
too,
can't, you know, and that's, and that's not necessarily the best thing. So I took a tour group of, I don't know if they were German or were they were always international. So like halfway down the canal area, because we'd go down a canal area and then we'd speed up and go fast. But through the canal, we go slow so that you can see the alligators and birds, and I can talk about the trees and all that. So as I'm going, there's one guy raising his hand like if he's in class. And I'm like, sir, I'm like,
pull the boat over.
I tell him, sir, sir, we're not ready to take. I say, sir, we're not ready to take questions yet.
You're going
to
take this one.
Questions will be coming in a little bit.
Oh boy, are you going to take this one.
And then I keep going and talking. Over here to your right, we have an alligator, and next to it, you'll see that there's a turtle. Why does the turtle and alligator sit next to each other? Isn't the turtle food for the alligator? And blah blah blah. And then the guy stands up and he's raising his hand. I said, "Sir, what is the problem? We're not answering questions right now." And he's like raising his hands. He can't speak my language, and he starts to climb over each seat towards me, and I'm like, sir, get back in your seat. And he's desperately walking up, and he climbs up between people's purses, and he reaches up and he says, I have to go to bathroom, something like that. And I'm like, sir, listen to me very carefully. This is a boat and there are rules. And the guy's shooting himself. And I said to him, sir, get back to your seat, and I'm going to try to do the ride as quick as I can, but I can't turn back in this canal. There's no backwards. I'll leap over. I bet you he puckered up when I told him there's only forward, not backwards.
I got news for you.
And so
I got backwards right now.
So we do the tour, but I'm doing it faster because I know the guy is suffering. And dude, the guy was lifting up off of his chair. Every time I'd say a word, he'd lift up an inch or two, like trying to say, oh man, I can't. He's fighting. He's fighting. He did not enjoy that tour for nothing. All he wanted to do was let go of that freaking bomb. And so by the time I'm getting back, there's a dock and we have to do a roundabout. And then the boat slides into the dock and hits the dock, and I get off and tie a knot. But here's the thing. I tell people, everybody stay seated until the boat has come fully docked, and I tie everything off one row at a time. Well, when the boat touched the dock, the guy jumped off the boat and ran.
Probably like the freaking Bionic Man or something.
So check this out. You're going to love this. So we would do airboat tours, but remember, we're a crew, and we're supporting the park, so we do all sorts of jobs. At one point, my boss asked me, Eloy, go check the bathrooms and go this, and I go to the bathroom, dude. There was, inside the stall, spray from the toilet seat all up on the wall. I don't know how a guy can spray crap up the wall. But he bombed that so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
It was ruined, dude.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Right. Well, I have to tell a sharding story now, don't I?
Yeah.
I won't tell mine. I would tell a good one I had when I worked at this warehouse I used to work in shipping and receiving. And there was this old guy. His name was Melvin. And he was... Super,
Yours have been changed to protect the innocent.
super, super nice guy. but he was so old, like old. He had to have been in his 80s, had to have been. And when he would talk to you, he would like drool. And he was so like nonchalant about it. He would like drool and catch it in his hand and like slurp it back up.
Oh.
It was disgusting. But the one day we had to, you had to wrap pallets and stuff in plastic wrap, like cellophane or whatever, before you shipped them out. And he was wrapping around. He just stops. Just stops and sits down his roll of wrap. And just like this brown liquid just starts dripping out of the bottom of his pant leg on the floor.
Oh, no.
And the bathroom's clear on the other side of the warehouse, probably 200 feet away. And he's walking.
He's just track that guy.
Yeah, he's just leaving a trail, a brown trail of goodness all the way to the freaking bathroom.
I don't think that was goodness.
So he's gone for like 15 minutes, you know, obviously had to go clean himself up. But like, that's the kind of thing you go home. Like, you got to go home after that, take care of business. But he comes back in 15 minutes and works the other 6 hours of his shift. Like, ooh, what?
Trust me, I wanted to go home, but, you know, nature was not.
Did he smell?
I didn't work right beside him, but I have to imagine he did.
Yeah, I know I did.
He either had to toss those freaking underwear away or try to pat them clean. I don't know what he did. But I can tell you, I'd have went home. Scratched. You know, everyone has a crap story. Everyone has one.
I have more than one.
I have multiple. I really do. Yeah.
But you gotta, have at least one.
Just is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's part of our. It's part of about being human, dude. I mean, sometimes we can't crap where we're supposed to, and we crap, you know, ourselves. I mean,
nature's gonna happen.
When I was. What's
Nature's
that?
Nature's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah, and it'll happen more and more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I'm further along. Believe me, I know. I know.
It'll happen more and more.
So
get comfortable with your shit.
We had this training class for North Glen Police Department, which is a smaller subdivision north of Denver. And I was part of the training. I used to teach the officers tactical deployment. We were in an abandoned school. None of the plumbing worked. Nothing. We had electrical, but barely. And our job was to teach the officers how to safely go through and clear a building. This was shortly after Columbine. All of a sudden, my gut is trying to tie monkey fists in itself. It's just... Blah, 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 blah. And I looked over at Sergeant Sanchez, and I was like, do we have plumbing? And he goes, no. And I'm like, oh, crap. So, you know, we've still got like 3 hours to go. And I'm probably 15 minutes away from my house if I take 25 and I go about 90. We still had to get through car searches and everything else, and I had spent the day trashing my car just to piss off these officers so they could find these fake narcotics I had buried in my car. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to make this. And somehow I managed to make it the next 3 hours. But much like my drive home tonight, it was a countdown by the time I got into the car as to who was going to win, right, nature or me. At that point, I was living in an apartment. And I was in the, it's a three-story apartment at 84th and Pecos. I think Jimmy may know it. I'm on the second floor, and I've got these neighbors around me that know what I do, and they leave me alone because they don't want to get, you know, they don't want to piss me off. So I get home, and I'm screeching to a halt, and I'm trying to get up these stairs. And as I'm going up the stairs, I'm undoing my pants because it's going to be that close. You know what I mean? This is going to be a photo finish, as it were. And, I get the key in the door, and I've got my pants around my ankles, and my neighbor directly across the way, she was about 70 or 80 years old, pokes her head out to see what all the commotion is and sees me standing there trying to get this stupid key that won't go in the deadbolt, and my pants down around my ankles, and it's just this dead stop. And I turn around, and I said, it's going to be okay. And finally, the door unlocks, and it's much like Eli was describing. All up the wall and the back, the whole nine yards. It was, if I hadn't stopped to turn to tell her everything was going to be okay, I might have made it. But man, oh man. Yeah, I've had moments like that, more than I care to remember. And unfortunately, less than 4 hours ago, it was another photo finish.
Scratched. Brian Bales wanted me to tell a gator story from out there. I'll tell a quick one. Like I mentioned before, we used to work driving airboats. And there were various jobs that we'd cycle through. there were certain jobs you couldn't escape from cycling through, and that was airboating, doing the kitchen, or doing yard work, or doing inside store, you know, like all the products and bathroom and this and that. So there were various jobs we'd rotate depending on which day it was, but we all drove airboats. But there was one particular job that you didn't have to take, but you could if you wanted to earn more money, and that was alligator wrestling. So from the beginning, I thought it stupid, at least for me, risking yourself. It makes me cringe every time I watch an alligator wrestler, because although people think it's a show, and it is a show, and they think they got it, you know, down, the risk is so in your face that it's not even funny. It's very dangerous. And so there was this guy called Jamie, and he was a badass alligator wrestler. He'd pick them up. He'd kiss them in the mouth. He'd turn them around. He'd tie them up. And he'd always come up to me when it wasn't my driving day, and he'd say, and I'd be working, like, say, the kitchen, just making burgers, alligator tidbits, and stuff like that. That's what people out there. And he'd always come in and say, "Eloy, don't be such a puss, man. You can make some more money. I'll teach you how to wrestle gators, man. Come on." I said, "Listen, Jamie, I play guitar, and frankly, I'm not interested in that." "Oh, don't be a puss, man." You know that type of guy that's always like pushing to see, you know, pushing that button, trying to.
No, I don't know anybody like that named
Rick. It's very Miami. It's very Miami. Like, "Oh, come on, man, come on, don't be such a puss, man, come on."
No, it's not very Miami. It's here too, trust me. That's me. I'm that guy.
Oh, really? Okay, so I told him, "Jamie, listen, you're the badass, and I'll stick to doing airboat tours and cleaning up, you know, when it's my turn to clean up." And, "Oh, come on, Eloy, Eloy." Well, guess what? A week after the final, you know, throes of him saying that, an alligator bit his thumb off. Ooh. He was all stoned. By the way, he'd go into the ring stoned, because he thought he was so good that nothing could touch him. And he lost his poor guy, by the way. And he was not a bad guy. He was a good guy. But, you know, with that cockiness that you can't have if you want to survive. And the gator tore his whole freaking thumb off, dude. And guess what? After that, totally different story. Right. It was, because, I mean, that's your thumb, dude. That's your thumb. So in retrospect, I'm still glad I chose not to do the wrestling of that. It's just not, dude, they are freaking dangerous. And no matter how badass you think you are, because I have friends that are badasses, and they are. They are badasses, and they wrestle gators. They hunt. They swim with gators. Friends of mine, huge gators. They do all sorts of stuff. And guess what? Oh, and play with snakes, venomous, still with venom in them.
I won't do any of that.
Mm-mm. Okay, I have friends that do that, and these guys are like badasses. And guess what, dude? All it takes is one. The animal has its own. It could react in a way that you don't expect at a certain, because of whatever difference. The sand. If a little particle of sand, while you're wrestling a gator and you put your hand in, and there's a particle of sand, a grain on your finger, and it drops and it touches the palate, you're screwed. And you're, and by the way, you're wrestling on sand. Think about that. That's what these guys do. So hats off to them, but they are risking their appendages. That's all I'm saying. So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Jimmy's going to call it a night. So, Jimmy, you were the first one in both times. Thank you very much for your support, sir.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Good night, Jimmy. Thank you.
I did a horrible job explaining to my brother-in-law why my audio is only on the left side. But I think I might have gotten it figured out. So, for those that don't know, I use an XLR microphone, and it's not USB. It's the standard 3-pin, like you would for a normal radio mic, and it's wired into what's called a DAW, digital audio workstation, and that goes USB then to the computer. But I have a lot more control with the DAW than I would with other programming and software that I used to use before. So the audio is a lot cleaner.
But your audio is in stereo for me.
Yeah, when it's broadcasting, it's only coming out of one channel. So, I think
it's perfect. By the way, yeah. The tone and everything is perfect.
Yeah.
But that's nice because the recording he sends me to put out all the short videos for the week should be in stereo then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the software will go through and fix that, but I use that kind of connection to get to the DAW. So I can use both channels for some reason or another. My DAW, when I go to try to use both mics, one channel overrides the other, and it just sounds terrible. So rather than mess with that, I just...
Is it phantom power? Do you need phantom power turned on for that mic? Mm-hmm. That's probably why also you're running phantom power, but it's 48 volts.
Right.
And or it should be 48 volts, and it takes away one mic from the other. That's why that mic, the SMB7, I think it was, or whatever.
The Shure.
It's the same microphone. Well, we could talk about mics a little bit because some people might be interested. Or not, but the Shure microphone, the SMB7, I think it is, it's the same mic that Bono from U2 uses, but it's also the same mic that a lot of broadcasters for podcasts and pro studios use. It's a dynamic microphone as opposed to a condenser. So it's the same as an SM57, for instance, that you would use on your drums. It's got a larger capsule. And it's got a pro sound, and you don't need phantom power. So it's a great mic. It runs for $399, that microphone. And rappers use it. Just about everybody uses that. And studios have that as one of their go-to mics as well.
Yep. Dynamic mics don't rely on any kind of power. And they are primarily used for instruments. So as Eli was saying, drums or what else? Like a...
cabinets, guitar cabinets as well. Yeah. You can also use it to mic up. You know, you can use it for anything, but it's mostly used for those things, right? Like you have your drum set. Baleswood can speak to this because he uses the SM57s. I've seen in his videos when he's recording his drums. And you use it on the snare, but you can use it in multiple places. You know how you have multiple mics to pick up all the drums individually to get that fantastic frickin' sound that you can get by editing or mixing those proper. So
condenser mics are primarily used for vocals, to amplify vocals and make them sound a lot more crisper and cleaner. And they tend to be a little bit more overdriven in terms of your... Oh, Eli, help me. I'm so brain dead tonight. I apologize.
Dynamic?
No. The
condenser?
Not the condenser. What's the one that... Oh, shite. Hold on a minute. Oh, I hate being over 40. I'm not doing...
They also have ribbon. They also have ribbon microphones.
Compression.
Oh, compression.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the ribbon microphones, guys?
Yeah, those are amazing, but they're incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's some of the box. Like if you can think back to the old Frank Sinatra recordings, and he's got that weird oblong kind of, not necessarily rectangular, but sort of that shape. That's more of a ribbon mic. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been going through this.
They have a nice warm sound as well. Yeah.
But God, you're...
So there's a lot of options with... There's a lot of options with microphones, and a lot of people talk about microphones. And to be honest with you, nowadays, and a lot of people will give me pushback on that, but to be perfectly honest, nowadays most mics are great. Mm-hmm. Even the Chinese knockoffs are really great. It's come a long way, and it's really a simple circuitry. They add different things to it, but you can work wonders. If you're editing your music video, I'm so stuck on video that lately, your audio tracks, I'm sorry. You could take any sound that comes in from any microphone, just about if it's condenser, and you can make it sound pretty frickin' decent, if not awesome. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to, the average listener is not going to be able to differentiate the difference at all.
there's a negligible...
They may say they can.
Go ahead.
No, if you ask them, hey, can you tell the difference? Some smart ass is going to say, yeah, of course I can tell the difference. But if you don't mention that, they won't even question that. That thought won't even pop in their head because, frankly, nowadays you can make fantastic music from a home project studio like I have. You could do fantastic stuff with the microphone. So I have a bunch of microphones.
Yeah. I'm starting to.
I only use a couple of them.
It's an addiction. It's really crazy. This is
oh, they're awesome.
This is the Marantz MP100. I just got this beginning of the week, and I was all fired up because, you know, I had another mic coming in, and I was all stoked. And then the night I plugged it in, Ryan and I were talking. I'm like, I hate this freaking thing. I hate it. It sounds like garbage. And Eli was like, what are you talking about? And so I showed him, and I can hear it instantly. It's quieter. It's not nearly as bass-driven as my CM25 is that came with the Focusrite. And I midweek, I got a hold of Sherry, and I said, listen, I'm not really happy with the Marantz, as you know. And I like the CM25, but I want something else, something a little bit more cleaner and a little bit more broad spectrum, because this is even a little deeper on the bass than it should be. And I ordered the AT2020, and that should be here next Tuesday. So,
oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's super awesome.
Okay, so...
That's Audio Technica.
Yeah, Audio Technica, yeah. And it's not the 2035, because that was another $60, and I knew Sherry would string me up if I went that route. But
let me just add this one thing before you continue on, because I know you're going to do a segue here, or at least that's what I heard. But let me just add one thing. Yeah, let me just say one thing. My go-to mic always, since the day I bought it, and it's not the most expensive, but it's a condenser mic that's so fantastic, large diaphragm, and it's the Behringer B2 Pro. That microphone has a few different recording patterns, polar patterns, and it's got a 0 dB and a minus 10 dB knockoff. And the sound, when I record my vocals, it captures everything I want, and it's the easiest mic I've ever found to be able to regulate or control the signal and EQ of my voice when I'm doing music. Whereas the mic that I'm using right now, which is an awesome, by the way, USB mics, I used to hate the idea. And after I got this, I'm totally digging the USB because it's easy. Put it, connect it, and I'm ready to rock and roll with a condenser. I mean, come on. Yeah. But with that said, I've noticed that these condenser USB mics run somewhat hot. Maybe it's in my mind. I don't think
no,
so, but
it's not.
It's running.
That's
on
why when we start up when we start up a Skype call or something, we're I'm usually blowing you guys out.
Yeah,
because it's right because it runs straight through the sound card.
But it's a fantastic dude. These mics, I really like. I spent $100 and some. I don't remember the price. You guys might remember, but
it was right around $100.
Whatever it is,
right?
It was like $100, right? Yeah. Well, I got this with the stand, with the shock mount, with the case and software for whatever that price was. It's a Shure, right? A Samson.
No, it's not a Shure.
It's a Samson. Fantastic microphone, in my opinion. It's the CO... I can't even tell because it's so dark lit in here, but... Boy, that's... It's a CO3U.
Episode complete.